It only stands to reason that the behaviors of the manipulative, pathological, and passive-aggressive narcissist would continue to drive us batty, throwing us into crazy, repetitive, Groundhog Day cycles of digging and searching and analyzing and ruminating over and over and over for answers that simply aren't there. Our reactions to these human anomalies are natural. The fact is that even the most unremarkable, commonplace narcissist will continue to lie and abuse because it's simply what he does. Amazingly, I've come to realize that there doesn't have to be a damn thing special about these guys to make them what they are. Intellects, occupations, nationalities, and ages may vary across the board, but the behaviors, worldwide, are exactly the same. So, what normal human being wouldn't go nuts trying to figure it all out? Whether this realization makes the reality any easier to bear, I'm not so sure. But it is what it is. What I can tell you, however, is that over time, by making a conscious effort to change my thought process, I felt things starting to shift in my favor. Now, I never knew exactly how or even when things would shift, but I would, every once in a while, just know that they had, because certain frenetic behaviors of mine would simply stop. For example, for a good part of 12 years, whenever subjected to a silent treatment or unexpected dismissal by the narcissist, I would feel compelled to take to the streets in the wee hours of the morning, five-page letter in hand and butterflies in my stomach, hoping to either catch him in the act of something or at least connect, albeit by proxy, the letter. Over the years, I must have written nearly 1,000 letters to the N, all heartfelt pleas for peace, begging him, in desperation, to change his ways, end the silent treatment, and come back to the fold. Sometimes this tactic worked, sometimes it didn't. But the writing and rewriting, always trying to get the words just right, exhausted me every time. Then would come the drive across town and the nerve-wracking moments of tiptoeing to the apartment door to attach the letter, my heart pounding out of my chest. Sometimes he'd be home, sometimes he'd be out, but it mattered not because the anxiety was the same. Minutes later, as I made my way home, then, and only then, did I feel the huge wave of relief that made it all worthwhile, the feeling that I'd connected and that perhaps he'd respond and the silence would end. Up until that point, I'd feel absolutely consumed. In retrospect, of course, I see that my behaviors were crazy-making. Fueled by narcissistic manipulation, these late-night rituals of writing and driving became my defining purpose in the relationship. His defining purpose was to create the chaos that he knew compelled me to behave that way. And around it went. The crazier he could make me, the better he felt about us, about himself, and about his entire existence. All I ever felt was crazy. Then, one night, on my way out the door with letter and keys in hand, I felt a sudden and unexpected shifting in my mindset, kind of like an earthquake shaking loose the petrified pieces of my common sense. For the first time in years, I looked at the clock, thought about how tired I felt, how late I'd get back, and about all of the anxiety-filled miles between my front door and his, and simply didn't go. My heart-heavy weariness and my common sense finally became bigger than the urge to chase the N and participate in the game. I knew, in that split second, that my nightly ritual of driving across town in the middle of the night during a silent treatment was over. That at least my participation in that part of the manipulation game had ended. My God, what would I do with all my free time? Sleep, maybe? Somehow, by the grace of God, I had been granted a semblance of control within the chaos, and I relaxed that night, for the first time in years.